Welcome back to The Expert Approach. I am your host, Joy Malik, a urology nurse practitioner. If you are curious about the future of healthcare where urology, technology, and patient-centered innovations intersect, then you are in a real treat for it today. My guest is someone I admire not only for her incredible resume, but also for her energy, authenticity, and the way she uplifts everyone around her. Dr. Jennifer Beppel is a double certified physician in urology and informatics. She is a powerhouse in the digital health space, known for championing patient safety, data-driven care, and AI-powered solutions. But beyond the titles and accolades, of which there are many, Dr. Beppel is a truly inspiring human being. She brings compassion, collaboration, and always a let's build it better mindset into every room she enters. From her work in real-world evidence and digital strategy to serving on the board of Ohana One, where she is helping bring virtual reality to international surgical training. Dr. Beppel is helping shape the future of healthcare. Today, we will be diving into the world of digital health in urology, what it means for APPs, and how we can better show up for our patients with a little help from technology. Dr. Beppel, I am so glad you are here. Welcome to the podcast.
Joy, thank you so much. What an incredible introduction, too. I am absolutely honored to join you today. So thank you.
So without wasting any time, I'm going to dive right into that. You have this amazing hybrid of clinical expertise and tech expertise. So what put you in this digital health world, and what keeps you excited and keeps you going?
Yeah, so I will tell you, I didn't enter into it to enter into the tech world or into the digital health world. That was sort of, kind of part of the journey. I really came at it from a practical standpoint of wanting to fix some of the problems in healthcare and some of the problems I was having in, you know, my clinical practice. And one of those solutions that I found was engaging the technologies that existed, or perhaps being part of inventing the ones of the future that could help solve some of those difficult challenges.
And that's why you're such an effective leader, because, you know, innovation comes from opportunities to improve. Only a few people grasp those. So I'm glad you're in that space and you're doing what you're doing. So, you know, digital space, but we cannot go away from digital space without talking about AI. It's in every form, every place. So when we talk about AI, everyone is throwing the term around. What's the real opportunity with AI that you see? And I will dive more into it, but let me ask, in urology, where do you think AI is?
So, Joy, I think you're right in that people do kind of tend to throw around the term a lot, so that you can't enter into a pitch room, you can't see a company without them mentioning some way that they're using AI. I want to point out that artificial intelligence is really an umbrella term and sometimes very misused within industry. And so under this umbrella terms are many other types of technologies that we gain insights from. And so it's important to be able to sort of distinguish those things and asking kind of where that technology can be used in everyday practice. The answer is it depends. I would encourage people, though, to look at, like, what speed bumps do you sort of see on a day-to-day basis when you're just trying to see patients, and see if there's a potentially, you know, different type of solution, including a digital health or technologic type solution that you can engage with. And maybe that involves artificial intelligence.
So you know, the big question always comes out with the digital world and the AI is, oh, it's not going to be personable. It's not going to be personal. It's going to be detached. Yet we also advocate for point of care medicine. Medicine should go to the patient. Patient may not have to come to improve. So in that aspect, how do you see this space becoming a more of an access for patients and also for providers to deliver that care?
You know, I would argue that care had already become very impersonable. There is a fabulous illustration that was done by a pediatric patient where you see the patient sitting on this, you know, very colorful exam table, and the mom is reading a book to the kid, and maybe there's a sibling in the background, and the doctor is sitting in the corner with their back to the patient, typing in a computer. And that was the perspective of that pediatric patient of their doctor, was their back typing on a computer. And so I think that technology has an incredible opportunity to allow us to actually kind of get the personal part of medicine back so that we can focus on the patient. And as you said, you know, certainly to be able to take care to where the patient is, right? Like the point of access is meeting the patient where they need it most. And, you know, whether that's in their home or from a literacy standpoint, or from just where they are in their care journey, it's meeting them where they are. And technology can certainly help bridge that gap.
Mm-hmm. No, so if I gather it correctly, that, you know, we are with digital medicine, not thinking about robotic colleagues, we are thinking about smarter workflow. Is that a good synopsis of that, you think?
Yeah, I think that's a great synopsis of it. You know, it's the centaur approach where you have, you know, the head of the horse, the brains of it, right, continues to be the physician. And then the workhorse behind it, that engine, can be some of the technology that we have.
So I know that healthcare is, you know, expanding. New innovations are coming in. And no matter in which role or which specialty you look at, there is now and will be a physician shortage in that aspect of it. And APPs, of course, totally different training sets. And how in your career, how have you seen APPs when you started versus now? Has there been any evolution in their roles? What do they do? Or what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think that APPs are really critical in helping us to address the shortage of providers. And I have been fortunate to work with many talented APPs, yourself included. And so how I have seen the growth, though, of APPs is really in their subspecialization. So that maybe you come out as a generalist, but then you become a urologic expert, and not just a urologic expert, but an advanced prostate cancer expert. And so I think that those areas of the subspecialization are, you know, really important, again, in helping bridge those access issues. And honestly, I really appreciate the approach that APPs tend to be very patient-centric. So they you know, pride themselves on really knowing their patient so that you're not just treating the disease, you're treating the patient with the disease.
So I know that you have grown positive culture and positive environments. And I've asked this question to Dr. Edney as well, because as you know, I'm blessed to work with a group of urologists that they are very, very proactive. They want to cultivate that culture, build you up. How do you think, because we still are not there nationwide, just to see, because as a urologic surgeon, you are trained to do surgeries. And no matter how much I want to, I can never do that because I'm not capable of it. I'm not trained for it. So How do you think an organization can look at it and see how can we maximize any provider to the top of their licensure so that it's providing access, we are able to give non-surgical innovations in the right time, in right sequence, and also have the productivity going, because ultimately it is a business that you have to sustain to help others. What are your thoughts? What are your guidance in those things?
So you're right that surgeons are uniquely trained to do surgery. The issue is that there are so many other aspects to patient care that don't require an MD after it. And so this, you know, this kind of older mentality of having to hold on to that patient for things that don't need that type of surgical care, really have to move over and allow for some creative ways of solving the problem, because there aren't enough of the MDs out there. And so I think that APPs and MDs can really have an opportunity to complement each other. I also think that APPs have, you know, such a great exposure to all parts of the business that there need to be more opportunities for operations, for strategy, for the business aspects, for APPs, because it's not just in the OR. You know, I tell physicians, you know, I don't just work within urologic digital health, right? Like, I work within digital health. And it's because as a physician and as an APP, if you think about it as that you're not trained to do one thing, you are trained to think critically and with compassion. And if you come at it from that level of mutual respect, that you and I are both trained the same way to think critically and with compassion. And with that, we perhaps have different skill sets that can support different areas of the business so that we can have some, you know, shared responsibility for growing a practice and for really ensuring, you know, top-notch clinical care, that I think that the opportunities for APPs need to be, you know, opened up widely within practices.
Yeah. And again, I can only fall back on my experience. I had the pleasure to work with you briefly, and I worked with this group of urologists that I work with, because, and when you read about leadership, whether it's about the purpose, whether it's about autonomy, that promotes retention of people, whether you think about, like, even John Maxwell, when he talks about a leader is to empower others and give credit to others, what that does brings job satisfaction. I truly think what you just said would not only help to build that culture, but also keep your employees in one area so that, because it's, care also gets fragmented when you have that round door. People are going in and out, and there is no continuity. Thank you. Very insightful.
Absolutely. You know, I think that the revolving door is a big challenge. And I think that, you know, APPs went through a lot of training, are incredibly well-versed in what needs to be done for better clinical care. And frankly, also, you know, they don't enter into the workforce saying, I want to do the same thing every day, right? Like, and so we need to provide opportunities for growth for an APP, just like we need to do, you know, when a new partner joins. What are the growth opportunities and where are those leadership opportunities throughout the business structure?
Yeah. And I tell you, this is one of my dream, that hopefully as we evolve in healthcare, we would see more APPs in the leadership role as a part of strategic partners to kind of, because like, you know, there was a study that has shown that if there were APPs reporting up to their own chain of command, the communication is better and they understand it better. Because just like as a urologist, if somebody else tells you the issues that they're having in the OR, you probably have a lot better understanding than somebody who has never been in the OR and done something. So yes, I agree. So you have been such a positive force. So what advice do you have for APPs who may be just stuck in the clinical world but are curious about the digital health space or in leadership in that? What can they do to start that curiosity going?
Yeah, I would say my first advice probably go to some of the physician partners that you're working with. And that's to lean into your APPs for more than just the clinical care, right? That there's so much more that they can offer. And frankly, you know, it's classic. There's no way in, there's no buy-in. So rather than continuing to kind of dictate down, and you're going to see more patients, and you're going to do this. This is the same thing whether you're an APP or an MD within a practice. The more we engage APPs or, again, MDs in those types of conversations about what we want done, the more likelihood that they're going to, you know, be accomplished. As far as like the interest within digital health, I encourage people rather than to say, hey, I'd really like to get into digital health and you know, AI is this shiny object that I'm going after. Go after the problem that you care about. You know,
yes.
What are you thinking about in the shower that's continuing to be an issue over and over again? Go after the problem and then see where that sort of leads you as far as the solution goes. And certainly if it leads you into digital health, then that's amazing. You know, the problem I went after was an issue of access. So I've shared with this before is that personally and professionally, I saw real challenges with access to care. And so in looking for solutions, that's how I came to say, hey, like, why aren't we doing more telehealth at our practice? Why can't we offer telehealth? You know, and from that, again, kind of things grow. So figure out the problem you want to solve, and then see how to build a solution. And it might be that the solution doesn't exist yet. I know that when I was advocating for telehealth, teleurology certainly did not exist at that point. And it was sort of like a screen door in a submarine when it was brought up. But that's okay. Like, don't be afraid to step outside of that box.
And I couldn't agree with you more because, you know, access is one thing. A lot of people have transportation issues. A lot of people have work issues that they cannot take time off, but they can maybe take 30 minutes off from their job. And I have seen firsthand when you were trying to build this thing, there are so many things that you can do over telehealth. And actually, I think it actually improves noncompliance. Because we sometimes say, okay, our no-show rate is, say, 4 patients a day or 5 patients a day. That truly can change if we are able to see from that other side of the table what are the barriers patients are having. And to sum up your point, I really love because you just hit that. What is your purpose in healthcare? What do you want to do and then follow that dream? That's why you're so awesome. So finally, as always, I reach out to you. What suggestion do you have for me and also this podcast that what we should engage in so it's relevant for urology space, but more specifically for APPs?
You know, I think that all of our responsibility is to keep learning, stay informed. You can't afford to be technology naive. You have to understand what resources are helpful to you. You also have to understand how to evaluate them so that just like if there's a new medication that's put onto the market, you need to be able to evaluate it and understand, is it best for your patients? Same thing when you hear about AI solutions or digital health solutions, you need to educate yourself on how you evaluate them from a clinical perspective. Are they safe and sound? Will they improve patient care or are they just another expense? Which leads me to the point of evaluating them on a business level. So are they affordable? Are they affordable for my patients? Are they affordable for, you know, my practice? And then are they scalable? You know, can I build them and expand them in it? And that all requires people to really pay attention. Pay attention, you know, to not just the urology space, but grow your network continue to meet people kind of outside of that area, because we can learn across specialties and across practices. And so reach beyond the people that you see in your office every day and just continue to learn. And certainly if you have, you know, a sincere interest in digital health, I have it come across my table all the time. Please feel free to reach out to me. I'm happy to chat more with anyone.
Thank you. Thank you again for your time, and I really appreciate this. So as technology improves and goes on in different layers, I will call you again for another interview to see what changes have been.
I look forward to it.
Thank you. So now to the audience, thank you for being a part of this journey. Your voice, your work, your passion, they are what gives this space the strength. And until the next conversation where we bring another leader here, keep staying hungry, keep looking for your purpose, stay curious and connected for better care that we are committed to. Thank you for watching.